HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to the HD Brunch Podcast, the weekly companion to your printed copy of HD Brunch, where I, your host Karishma Kunzang from Team Brunch, give you a behind the scenes of what you'll be reading on Sunday. There'll be interviews with the biggest Bollywood celebrities talking about things that matter to them. You'll also get to know a little more about the columns by Veer Sanghvi and Seema Goswami from the columnists themselves. Why should you listen to it? Well, it's one of India's top Sunday magazines. It has the best editors, columnists, and opinion leaders bringing you what's happening around town. Listen on for an additional dose of brunch. This series is available on hdsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Hi guys, how's it going? I remember my social media debut. It was on High Five and it caused a lot of fights, scandals and heartbreak as you could give tags like crush and brother to people. And then came Orkut, which had much less fluff before Facebook reconnected me with lost friends and family members from around the world. But Instagram was the game changer, a platform many have asked me to upload all my stories on, but I'm just busy being a lazy bum about it. But unlike authors and last week's HD Brunch cover stars Rehana Munir, Richa Mukherjee and Anmol Malik, who penned down their social media and internet musings during the lockdown for the edition. In conversation with me, the three authors talk about their social media debuts, their lockdown learnings and their favorite place to write.
Hi Rehana, Richa and Anmol, and welcome to the HD Brunch podcast. Congratulations on your HD Brunch cover. What have the reactions been like? Let's begin with Richa.
It's been fantastic, Karishma. Firstly, I think a big thanks and hugs to you guys for helping us, drawing us out of our little holes and getting us out into the air and, you know, making us remember that there are people and that there's work can happen in the outside. So it was a fantastic shoot. I don't think we were easy subjects to shoot. I think our photographer, Prabhal Shetty, was a little perturbed, but it was absolutely fun. And as far as the reaction is concerned, there's nothing better to wake up to than, like I said, I posted about it that I was just sitting and casually sitting and having my poha. And honestly, I forgot it was coming out that day. And that smack of pride and, you know, seeing it on a publication that you've admired for years, there's nothing quite like it. I think the sales marginally went up that day because all my relatives and friends were dashing out for their copies, even if they didn't subscribe to it. So it was absolutely fantastic. And my daughter refused to join her online school because she was just beaming with a copy. And yeah, I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. A lot of people have been writing in as well. And I'm going to have this Cheshire, you know, cat grin on my face for a while. And all thanks to that cover.
That's lovely to know. That's great. What about you, Rehana?
I'm glad to hear of Richa's reaction because I remember that day in the studio and we were all a little bit out of our depth, being writers who are not typically very camera friendly, unless these are these so-called candid pictures that we all now put on our Instagram. But the responses have been good. People have been, since I do write a column for HD Brunch, the readers who are used to a particular kind of writing, I think, have written and responded to this. The theme really resonated with a lot of young readers and even older readers for that matter, because it echoed so many of our sentiments, right? What you do with this beast called social media. And I think it gave me a chance to reflect on my own slightly complicated relationship with the medium. And the responses have been very heartening. People have reflected on their own rapport with social media and so on. So great fun. And yeah, it's been a good, happy response.
All right, fantastic. And Anmol, what has the reaction been at your end? You saw your dad had reposted it.
Because HD Brunch is something I've religiously read for the last 5 years. And it feels like a dream to be, you know, somewhat there in that magazine, you know, just writing something, being interviewed there, just always feels like a dream. Because come on, In what universe do I get to be on a cover? That is ridiculous. And suddenly on that Sunday, finally, when I did have the copy in my hands and I did see my face plastered there, I was firstly gobsmacked that Prabhat's made us look so good. And I think my dad was taken completely off guard.
Tell us about your social media debut. What year was it? What platform was it? And who do you follow on Twitter or Instagram, you know, to kind of read their posts, not look at their pictures, but kind of read what they've written. Let's begin with Rehana this time.
Yeah, so I think like most of us, I began with Facebook, considering it came first. And, you know, now when I see those Facebook memories, it kind of reminds you of how vague and bewildered one was by the whole thing. I just don't understand what I was trying to say. You know, I think at that point, we all had a vague notion that people are sitting in our heads and they understand exactly all our references. And all the anecdotes, you know, that these statuses come out of, you know, because they had that little line. I don't know if it's still there. What are you thinking, Rehana? And I thought, I'll very obediently type out what I'm thinking and the whole world, you know, and everyone in the world will read it and they'll understand me exactly in the way I want to be understood. So, of course, those notions have been disabused over the years. I did begin with Facebook, but for very many years, that has been my dominant, you know, social media playground. Or battlefield, or whichever way you look at it. Twitter, I find to be a bit hectic. I still don't really get it. And Instagram is new, as I wrote for the cover story. It's new, but it's fun. It's good to have a book out there that you can sort of sometimes hide behind and, you know, post about that. So that's basically been my social media journey so far.
All right. And Richa, what about you?
So I agree with Rehana, Karishma. Initially, it was, you know, the happy, sweet world of Facebook. You know, you go on a holiday, you post a couple of pictures. There used to be this game where people used to throw sheep at you. So there was these bizarre things happening in the online world. And, you know, it was an interesting space to be in and which could help you connect with not just your, you know, friends and family, but, you know, you can filter who you want to be friends with. And it was this controlled, sweet, happy place. And you just put your photographs when you want to, right? There was nothing frenetic about it. And it was up to you. When I started writing and when I had decided that I have, you know, my new purpose is to write and be an author, I was told that I need to be on Twitter. I need to be on Instagram. And that scared the bejesus out of me because I had no idea what I was dealing with. And there were these communities and these hashtags. For the first 1 month, I was just terrified by hashtags. I knew anything you said, you write a hashtag. And I was just like, you know, what sorcery is this? I've landed up in this place and everybody seems to be talking about the same thing. So it was a strange world. But I realized the necessity. So from a point in time where I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, I learned that Twitter was a paid place, which was for conversations, which was for opinions. And then I understood that Instagram was mostly primarily a visual space, you know, where people just strike poses and look a certain way and look into the air and look at their bees and dogs and smile and pose. And, you know, that's essentially what it's for. And of course, you know, so it's a visual medium. So, now I have understood that it is a necessity. And while initially I was struggling with what to post, I have just realized that I don't have the temperament or the time anymore to engage in very controversial discussions. I have a sphere of influence where I am writing for certain communities. You know, people are reading me. I'm trying to build myself as a brand. Having said that, I do not want to engage beyond a certain point. And I have content buckets. I don't, think too much in terms of how to build the personal brand, but I have areas in which I post on Twitter and Instagram. And they are primarily in the range of books or, you know, certain opinions that I choose to have an intelligent discussion with the people I follow.
And Anmol. Anmol, are you on Snapchat?
Okay, my social media journey actually began with, it was a platform called Hi-Fi. I don't know if anybody remembers.
Oh, yeah.
Ages ago. It was the cause of a lot of controversy because it had something called top friends, and everybody yeah. was like, "Are you're not in my top friend, blah blah blah," and it was like basically middle school gone completely bad. So I've gone through that whole phase of looking absolutely emo with my bangs coming into my eyes and, you know, those 3/4 side profile pics. All that has happened, and then Facebook came along, and I think till Twitter and Facebook came along in my life, I'd become fairly used to a lot of my friends leaving school, and because we started applying for universities in different countries. And a lot of people stayed back in India. A lot of people went to Australia, New Zealand, Canada. So basically all over the world. And suddenly Facebook emerged as this one way of keeping in touch. So Facebook, and I would say Skype, though I know that's not social media, but I would say Facebook and Skype was like the perfect marriage. And suddenly conversations started happening on walls and people were leaving numbers, and it was very nostalgic for me. I tried making a Twitter account, did not work out for me at all. I still haven't got the hang of Twitter. I don't know why I've got this mental block around it. And then came Instagram, which I kind of tried to stay away from the longest time, because when it first exploded on the scene, people were just sharing photos of brunches that I couldn't have. So I was just like, it's better to just stay away. But then it became this whole thing. And suddenly around the same time, I started releasing work into the public space. And what that did was I suddenly understood not just the power, but the dynamics of how I was using social media changed. When you create something, you always tend to put in a lot of yourself in it. And suddenly I was on a very public platform and able to receive a lot of criticism and, you know, praises for what I was putting out there. And it was very new to me because the dynamic changed. Suddenly from becoming a very friendly space, it became a space where I had to kind of interact with people and say, look, this is my work. And this is what I was trying to, you know, say and speak. And everything started blending together. And I began to understand the power that social media has. It gives you a little platform. Like, you know, when you're in Hyde Park Corner, they have something called the Speaker's Corner, which is just an upturned box. And you can speak out your opinions into the world. Now that's available on your phone. And I thought that was pretty cool.
All right. And tell us about the lockdown, the internet, social media, and you. You've all had different experiences that you've written about. Tell us, you know, in a sentence or two, a little about what inspired it. Let's begin with Anmol.
Okay. What inspired my little piece in HD Brunch? I'm so sorry to put this out there in a podcast that everybody's going to listen to, but honestly, I used it to stalk my crushes initially because I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I'll tell you what though, you know, boys don't post much, which is very frustrating. So you kind of have to keep going through their tags. And I don't do this as much now, but I think a good 5-6 years ago, I did. And I did stalk a crush really, really hard. And I knew stuff about them that I shouldn't have. And it came out in a public setting. So that was a bit embarrassing. But the story was based on my sister, actually, because, you know, sometimes you'll be sharing stuff with your best friends and saying, hey, look at this really cool story. And then you like just be very catty about it. I don't like her dress. I don't like her nails. Ooh, I wonder where she got the lipstick from. But what if you end up sending it to the person in question? Because the bloody app goes through so many updates. You never know what's switching around. And that's exactly what the story is based on. That, you know, at the end of the day, human interaction can go wrong.
And what was your sister's reaction to the piece, though?
I think she laughed a lot. But I do believe she's going to take some sort of revenge on me in the week. I don't know when it's going to come, which is what makes it a bit more scary.
Lovely. Let us know. All right. Richa, what about you? What is your experience with like?
I'm just going to sidestep first and comment on what Amol just said. I understand about mercilessly using your family and especially your sisters as fodder, and which is why I dedicated my latest book to my sisters, to appease them and tell them that, you know, darlings, it's all good. Because, you know, every time I was speaking in an interview or talking about how I grew up, I always vilified them, right? It makes for so, it's funny that you grew up with three sisters.
That's the acknowledgements page is there. It's like, I love you, mom, dad.
Exactly. Sister. Yeah. This once I just thought that I won't even leave it to the end. I'll get matters sorted as I start the book. I was like, here you go. Your acknowledgement is ready. And now let's just continue with this.
Lovely.
So yeah, I think Amol, that's a good way to go. So, and eventually the next book needs to be dedicated to her.
to absolve you of this sin. So coming back to the pandemic, so, you know, like I was mentioning earlier, Karishma, every writer is sensitive to context, conversations, environment, you know, it, you don't feel it, it literally seeps through. I mean, you know, it, it percolates deep within, you feel everything. And I must tell you that I am normally a decent enough person to be around, but during the pandemic, the initial months, I transformed into this grouchy animal. All kinds of, I write humorously, but all sorts of levity had deserted me. When you're constantly chopping bhindis and having to deal with online school and doing so many chores, nothing is funny anymore. And then on the other hand, you have these posts. I remember Anmol was abusing me through the lockdown because she used to see all these, you know, this food being made. What she didn't realize was this sweaty hound behind those pictures, you know, was cooking those things. So I think it was a time of great upheaval just for everyone else, because not only were we having to personally deal with a lot of things happening in our personal space, it was about reinventing and, you know, repurposing work, school, our living spaces. But also there was so much of upheaval in the outside world, and you cannot do much but, you know, soak in that trauma as well. You're human and you absorb everything. So I don't think I had to stretch my imagination too far when it came to an idea, because I saw it. And firstly, like a mole, I yelped a little bit and bounded around with my daughter that, you know, I was being invited to write by HT, and such wonderful people were involved. And immediately after, all I needed to do was just raise my head and look around. It was, the fodder was all around.
And Rehana, what about you?
So, of course, I share Richa's experience in many ways in being a little bit overwhelmed by this whole cult of productivity and all the banana breads and all the films being made and, you know, everyone being the best version of themselves in this conditions of adversity. So, no, I was not that. The best of times, I'm not that. So, certainly not during the pandemic. But I do remember for vast periods of the pandemic, looking at social media, and I think we'd all gotten, especially in a city like Bombay, we'd all gotten a little bit obsessed with the skies. And there were pictures of the skies and sunsets and, you know, clouds, because that's all we could see out of our little patches, you know, our little windows. And if those of us lucky enough, I don't have a balcony in my little Bandra flat. But I was very, very envious of the outdoors, of people who had access to the outdoors. And that was what was being posted. I'm never too envious of pictures of food and the like, because luckily for me, I'm the world's worst cook, but I have access to that. But you know, you desire what you don't have at that point. And social media at that point was full of people posting beautiful pictures of the skies. And I kept wondering where, I mean, what are these views? And apart from that, I think part of me is a socialist, part of me is a masochist, and I don't allow myself to have a very good phone ever. So even if I had the view, I wouldn't have a beautiful picture of it. I have this cracked little screen, a smudged lens, and very poor technical skills. So I think, yes, it was just a bit of being disoriented, like most of the world, and not really posting too much.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for putting me on the cover with Richa and Rehana, which is a huge honor for me because I love their work.
Yes, bacteria is the root cause of a lot of diseases, but there are a lot of fermented foods that have the good kind, and these have multiple health benefits. I mean, there's a reason why the world is turning to kimchi. But when it comes to me and when I think about fermented food, my mind immediately goes to akhuni, which is a fermented soya bean paste that is used across the Northeast. And there's also a version of it in Darjeeling called kinema. So it's got this really strong smell while it's being cooked. But the umami flavor that it gives to the dish, you know, whether it's meat or it can even be used in a vegetarian dish, it's totally worth it. And what isn't smelly, but also gives a lovely smokiness to the dish is the anishi from Nagaland. And it's made with the fermented yam leaves. And then there's the churpi, which is essentially cheese, which is fermented a little before it's mixed with chilies and onions or fresh bamboo shoot and used as a chutney or a dip. But my favorite is the desi kimchi, gundruk, a fermented preparation of radish leaves and radish, which is really popular in Darjeeling and Sikkim. Here's what HT Brunch columnist Veer Sanghvi has to say about fermented foods.
Suddenly, probably for the first time in its existence, bacteria are trendy. It's a funny thing because I wrote a piece on Sado and many people wrote to me saying, why haven't you mentioned the health benefits of Sado? And I said, what health benefits? And they said it contains bacteria, which is good for you. Well, yes and no. First of all bacteria are not good for you. Most diseases are caused by bacteria. When you say somebody's been food poisoned or food is spoiled, it nearly always means bacteria. So let's be clear, bacteria are not always a good thing. But yes, there are good bacteria. The bacteria of the Lactobacillus family are one example. Those are the bacteria that will ferment your idli batter, they'll ferment your dosa batter. Those, the more importantly, are the bacteria we use when we make dahi at home. So yes, those bacteria are good for you, and they're probably good for your stomach too, which is why our ancestors used to ask us to eat dahi first thing in the morning. But remember, with all these misconceptions about bacteria, that heat destroys bacteria. So nobody sells you a masala dosa as a health food, because yes, bacteria were used in the fermentation of the dough, but there was no bacteria still left alive by the time the dosa was made. It's the same thing with sourdough. Yes, sourdough is a bacterial bread in the sense that you use bacteria instead of commercial yeast, but it's not a bread that's a health bread. The bacteria is killed in the oven. So yeah, sure, we should all understand how bacteria help us, and many bacterial foods do help us, but let's not fall for all this trendy crap or, hey, all bacteria is good. Life is never that simple.
Fought the temptation to fly off to the hills or the beach for months now. Being someone who's not had the opportunity to venture out to Alibag or Lonavala, like most people I know. But I'm busy dreaming of the hills. Like I mentioned a few episodes ago, my first trip post-COVID has to be Shillong, followed by some other parts of Meghalaya, of course, before exploring Nagaland and Arunachal Pradesh. And hopefully also catch up with some of my friends there and maybe even bump into the likes of musicians like Taba Chake. As far as international destinations are concerned, I do have a list. But it's planned around music festivals which aren't happening right now. So that'll have to wait. But listen on for HT Branch columnist Seema Goswami's list of travels.
I guess it was bound to happen. After driving to nearby resorts for mini breaks, we are now rapidly running out of holiday destinations. We've made multiple trips to Jaipur. We've holidayed in Agra in the shadow of the Taj. We've even ventured forth to Alwar, a brand new destination for me. But now, after a couple of months, we are kind of exhausted the possibilities when it comes to driving holidays. Which is why I guess my thoughts are inevitably turning to the kind of vacations we used to take before COVID hit. Here are just some of the destinations that I dream of and that I miss with an almost visceral twist of the gut. First on the list is London, which over the years has become almost like a second home to me. There's a certain familiarity to walking through St. James's Park, to looking at the canvases at the National Gallery, or even going food shopping at Marks & Spencer or Waitrose. I simply can't wait to do it all over again. If London was like a second home, then Bangkok is like a parallel universe in which I would have liked to live in another life. Over the past couple of decades, I have seen the city transform from a somewhat sleepy, sometimes seedy destination into a sleek, skyscraper-strewn, shimmering capital with world-class shopping, amazing food, and friendly people who never seem to stop smiling. This is probably the first place I'm going to head to when international travel is finally on the cards. Then there is the Maldives. When the Delhi winter gets at its toughest, my thoughts inevitably turn to the Maldives for its golden beaches, turquoise skies, and azure blue waters. I'm even willing to let the sea breeze do its worst with my hair, such as my desire to go back and bathe in the warm waters of the lagoon. Speaking of lagoons, how could I forget the most spectacular of them all? Venice. I was fortunate enough to first discover it in the depths of winter, when there weren't hordes of tourists ruining the city. And ever since then, it has held a special place in my heart. But then so has all of Italy. There are so many destinations that I long to go back to. Rome with its magnificent monuments, Siena with its cobbled streets, San Gimignano with its dreaming spires, the shimmering waves that lap the beaches of Liguria, the stunning vistas that you see from the Amalfi coast. The world is calling out to me, and I can't wait to head out to explore it anew.
I remember the first time I met musician Achyut Anand in Gurgaon. He was a student at the music school where I was teaching, and his were the classes I would love to linger outside of and listen for a few minutes at least. Today, the Gurgaon-based pianist has started his own newsletter called Music Monthly, through which he addresses issues he is seeing as a student, music teacher and performing artist. He's also come out with a new single, Along Came You, featuring Shashank Singhania. And he's also a part of Inner Lab. We got him to play a version of his debut single, Decipher, for us. Hope you enjoy it.
Hi, this is Achyut, and you're listening to my debut single, Decipher. It is a song composed after countless discussions about what 2020 had in store for all of us. A year that was plagued with uncertainty and how it compelled us to decipher the mystery that is life. Have a great Sunday brunch.
The weekend is when you take a break from a hectic week, whether it's work from home or work from work. It's also a day to develop perspective on things by not just consuming news, but also analyzing it by listening to different points of views and figuring out what you feel about it. We hope we've been able to do just that with today's HT Brunch podcast. Feel free to give us feedback and suggestions on HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or DM us directly at HT Brunch on Instagram and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno Naye Nazariye Se. I will see you back here next weekend with another dose of entertainment that keeps things real. Till then, happy brunching, guys.
This This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast. HD Smartcast.